up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, great second guy. Tom Tomowski, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. S&P futures up 475. Dow futures up 59. And the NASDAQ is up 23. Interesting morning. Futures were up more last night. I saw them up about 12 to 13 bucks. I came in a little later and listened to the speeches after the fact. And, well, that's all I have to say about that, as they say. Kevin, how are you?
Good. Are there three people in a row you'd less likely to hear speak than, Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer?
Yeah, I know. It's, I don't quite understand why the two of them don't realize that a lot of people that voted for a lot of the younger Democrats that I think have some future, would like to see at least one of those two out of the way at some point here. But they don't seem to get it. McConnell probably, a lot of people don't like him either, I'm thinking. But
well, I think Speaker Pelosi will be out of the way in the not-too-distant future just because of age. It'll be time for her to retire. Now, maybe she'll never retire.
Well, she said 2 years. That was a deal.
You've got to remember that... while the voters may see it that way, she is, whether you like her or not, you have to respect, her ability to wield power. As as her own daughter once said of her, she'll rip your head off before you even know you're bleeding. So.
I'm not so sure that's a great trait, but.
Isn't she like 78?
It's not an admirable trait. It's what I'm saying is, though, you have to understand that about her is that when it comes to just playing power politics, she may not be the most brilliant woman in the world, but she is shrewd as can be, and she is tough, and that's always going to be a factor in if anybody wants to unseat her. And you saw that, how many candidates ran. Saying I would not vote for her to be speaker, only to vote for her to be speaker, not necessarily because that was a disingenuous promise, but more because it was they got their arms twisted into doing it.
Well, she also made the call, like you said, she's only going to do it 2 more years, which mollified a lot of people.
Yeah, probably did.
And
she like 78 years old?
She's exactly 78.
That's
very good, maybe.
And she's been in politics for what, 50 years?
I think
that's long enough.
Well, on a person, well, the weird part is,
I appreciate your service. That's enough now.
Think of it as when you're there, but when you're involved, it's a two edged sword. And my little foray into this was at the board of the CBOE, where I ran the first time and was kind of nominated and all kinds of accolades the second time and ran the third time and lost. Lost to a guy who's now in jail. I think that makes me feel. How scary is that, Kevin?
It's not scary at all. It's situation normal. It's Chicago.
Yeah. Well, but you absolutely have the feeling that in the 6 years I was there, that I accomplished more in the first term, clearly twice as much in the third year than the first two combined. And in the second term, I really was, you know, a pretty serious force to be reckoned with, and that's one of the reasons why they didn't want to nominate me for the third time, because I was sort of against what has happened to the exchanges now. Do you think I was right about that? Kickbacks, preferencing order flow, firms trading against their own customers. Do you think I was wrong being against any of that stuff? Anyway, they thought I was.
Were you prescient, or was it just a lucky guess?
It was the Kevin. That's why I have this issue.
You saw it coming.
Well, you know what? This is what individual people that have never seen it in an industry like this. It's why I think somehow or another, and I don't know, I'm not a law guy at all. The concept, when people wrote the Constitution, and I really, really believe this, that the one thing the Founding Fathers bleeped up on is everything in there that's written is written in a front time frame of a person's lifetime. I honestly believe that.
What do you mean? Explain that one a little bit.
I'm saying that if you ran in Indiana and I ran in Illinois and we get in the House of Representatives, say, and we're a couple of no-good-nicks, and we decide we want to, you know, take over government or do something, we could probably find a bunch of other people as the years go by, sort of, that feel our way. And maybe we could even get, you know, 25, 30, 40 people thinking our way. But eventually, one of us is going to croak, especially in those days, when you live to be, what, 50 probably. And you couldn't possibly, one individual, especially coming from sort of disparate states, you couldn't possibly pay off everybody, all 435 people, all 100 people in the Senate, and the president. It would have just been way too much work. You could never gain either the amount of money or the time to do it. Yet a corporation, which is, I think, one of the greatest, inventions in terms of capitalism. I mean, I'm not against corporations. They never die, Kevin. And they have the money to where literally they can.
Yeah, tell it to Sears.
Yeah, well, okay.
Sears is trying real hard not to die,
yeah.
But we digress. Keep going. I'm sorry.
But I'm saying you can easily pay off, contribute to everybody. You know, where you and I couldn't. The corporation has usurped the power by simply they don't die. I mean, Boeing at some point can really spend lots of money on everybody else's campaign. They're big enough, they're strong enough, and guess what? They're probably going to be here another 200 years or more. You and I aren't. I think it's a big difference in the way the power in this country. I mean, these healthcare companies. Nobody cares what, if Merck ever develops another drug. They're big enough, they're fat enough, they'll just buy other people that are doing the work, and they got the money to ram it through Congress, and they have enough say on the Hill to where no small firm, the Kevin and Chief Cancer Cure, will ever get through by herself. Ever, ever, ever. Because they've been around forever. The tobacco companies, you couldn't smack them, ever. How many years? And until finally the states got some settlement on them, at the point where they probably didn't care anymore. You know, I mean, it just...
Yeah, well, and at the point where, the coffers were so significant that it had gone from a major threat to the business to a cost of doing business.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have no cure for it. I have no solution to it. I mean, I suspect that one of the possible solutions is... I mean, I honestly believe, Kevin, I mean, this is not a left or right issue, that the 90% of the money or 80% of the money for the representative fight in your district or in suburban Illinois should not come from outside the district. I don't think anything like that was anticipated when you and I would have had to get on horseback in New England and ride down to California or Carolina and throw money at people, which they probably wouldn't like us. They'd probably throw us out. It's totally different than that. And you can't tell me that those people would have thought that was okay. No, I sound like...
No, I don't think so. I think that the one thing that we really could do right now is that all donations go into escrow and they don't come out of escrow until the donation itself and the source... biggest step in the world, but we could easily say, let's shine, you know, let's sunlight, put a little, do a little bleaching here. By just saying, let's get, you know, let's make sure everybody has access to where the money, you know, what's the source of the money. And, you know, I think that would be a step in the right direction, because then we could all, you know, we could all look at it. It's, you know, it, and it, I would, you know, that would be something that people could easily do. You don't have to be, you know, so thoroughly engaged in the political world to just sit down and take a look at, you know, on a, at a web page and click at the top of the column and sort it by donor amount, largest to smallest, and see who the donors are.
Okay, I'm gonna lob a gentle jab at you. It's gentle because I respect where you're coming from. I'm gonna accuse you of being the Wednesday edition this week of Carl Denninger, which is actually a compliment for both of you.
I would call that like the greatest compliment ever.
Well,
tweet that out, please, Maddie.
Okay. I'm gonna say that you both are, and Maddie, help me on this. And I do this myself as well.
I mean, there's only one more rung up the ladder, and that's Lou.
Yeah, it's a well. But I'm saying you guys have this tendency to judge other people by yourself, and I don't mean in terms of intellect or morals and stuff, because there's a lot of smart people, a lot of moral people out there. I'm talking about in time, not that you have, but are willing to give to finding out, quote, the truth. Because I think really for most people, and I, you know, I obviously put myself in that catalog, because by the day, I find pieces of information that I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't know this one from 15 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago or last week. What the hell, am I some kind of dummy? How did I not know that? Fact is, news today is like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant, like they say, used to say on the trading floor. You're right. The stuff would be there, Kevin, and for people to find. Just like Carl said yesterday, and I remember it, you know, like it was yesterday. He said, the numbers are there in the Treasury if you're willing to look for them and find them. Kevin, that's the top one-tenth of 1% of the population.
I hear you, Tom. There's a lot of people who are just not engaged at all.
They make it very difficult.
Doing something that is easy for people to find.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Carl had said yesterday, yeah, it's there if you want to find it. And how many times did you go back and forth and he'd say, no, not that table, this table. Well, you know, that's the hard approach to doing it. But if all you had to do was go to donorwebsite.com or .gov or whatever you want to call it, and click on a candidate and click on the donors and you see highest to lowest and you get a list of donors and then you can click on each donor. This is not hard stuff. You know, this is, I'm talking about making it easy. Now, are there still people that are going to keep head firmly in the sand? Sure, but I think more people would be interested. And it's the kind of thing that would also go out on social media all the time and so on, so that, you know, it really becomes fact-based. But what I'm saying is, you can't have the money until you've disclosed.
Well,
right now, the
still
disclosures are so far after the fact that, you know, it's hard to know anyway, or they're often after the fact.
Again, that would be the first piece of it, because if I found out that if Kevin O'Neill got a chunk of dough from, Allstate, and the first time that there was a vote on Allstate, Kevin recused himself, I'm so sure I have a huge problem with it. I mean, you not only have to look at where the money's coming from, you have to look about what did they in the past and what are they likely in the future to do for that person. I mean, there's a judge here in Illinois that was something like 70% or 60% of the money he got for his election was from State Farm. And the first time he got some huge State Farm personal injury case, he says, why should I recuse myself? That's why I'm here. You know, so I mean, there's more to it than just getting the money is like the first step, but how moral you are on top of it.
Well, and we're talking baby steps here,
yeah.
And I realize
yeah.
that. I fully realize that. But, you know, we're not going to get anywhere until we start disclosing.
Well, I just want to make a quick shot here between the president and what's her name, Nancy. I'm going to say, Kevin, out of the annals of human events, what I've learned about human personalities, he is on a scale of there's 100 different personalities. The New York brash, got money from the old man, runs over people whenever you can, sort of dude. I mean, I'm not talking about president. It doesn't mean he can't be a good president, by the way, with that personality. Where you insult everybody up and down, and the minute the deal's done, they're supposed to forget all that stuff. Contrast it with a 78-year-old female. And if anything's worse than a Southside Irish guy like me, it's this is not a sexist remark. Does anybody does anybody ever remembered a lady who forgot any insult? They're worse than Southside Irish guys. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, can there be two contrasting personalities where every single time he slighted her, she's got it written down somewhere, and he thinks you're supposed to forget all that? I can't imagine two more diametrically opposed personalities than those two people.
Or more, you know, more given to clash, anyway.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Because, I mean, anything he said about her when he was running and that kind of stuff, I guarantee you she's got it filed away somewhere. And he thinks you should be able to insult somebody's manhood at a real estate thing, and when you walk out and you made your $50, you're supposed to shake hands and go to the next meeting, no harm, no foul. And that's not my personality. I'm way more toward the Nancy Pelosi style. I don't forget anything. So I don't know what that makes me, but, you know. But remember the Quiet Man when he couldn't remember anymore? Put it down in me book so I remember. I don't like this guy. So what did you think of your Alabama boys?
Well, they kind of got their butts kicked, didn't they?
I especially love, if you could do a highlight film of the cornerback that had the pretty nasty knee injury. Now, he must have been hurt before, Kevin. When he just was backpedaling, all of a sudden he went down and the receiver went in the end zone. And the other coach... Coach in Clemson, who I have zero respect for, you think he could have, like, obviously you're happy you scored a touchdown. Could you have kept it down to a dull roar when you knew the only reason why you did it is because some guy tore up his leg? The guy's jumping up and down the sideline, running up and down 20 yards like he was a madman. The guy's laying down right in front of him. Or am I just a little too soft for this?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, but sportsmanship is let me put it this way: it's in short supply nowadays. That it doesn't occur to people. It isn't intentionally unsportsmanlike. It's more obliviously unsportsmanlike.
It's like the difference between immoral and amoral. You don't even know how you're supposed to act.
Yeah, and you would like to think that somebody out there is teaching the lessons, but apparently not.
Yeah, we have all, a million coaches, and Maddie, you're more expert on this because I'm not even allowing names out. I'll let you do the names. All these people that are coaching, the head coaches that got fired, college and pro, and everybody's being filling in. What is the difference? I mean, I think our listeners probably would like to know, and I would like to know. Well, when did it all change? I'm going to say, pick 15 years ago, certainly 20. An assistant coach at college, weren't there limits on that, Kevin? Wasn't it like $60,000 is all an assistant can make, and you couldn't be part of the shoe contracts to where the difference between the head coach and the D coordinator, wasn't it like millions of dollars to less than $100,000? I mean, wasn't that almost by NCAA?
Whatever it is that coordinators are making a lot of money now.
Well, no, I'm saying is now if all those rules gone, I mean they're all just Can you participate in the shoe camp? I mean, are there now no... I'm not saying there should have been. I'm just trying to figure out the difference.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. As far as I know, yeah, I don't know that there's any rules that restrain assistant salaries. I don't remember that there ever were. It just happened to be the way it was.
No, I think there actually were. I know you couldn't participate in the... I think I know. Again, this is one of these things where somebody dig up and say, Chiefs wrong again. I think I know that all the assistants, you couldn't sprinkle infield with the... shoe contracts and stuff. That was just the head coach's deal, and which is kind of strange too. I mean,
it might have been. There's some places that now do it as a school. I know that's how Notre Dame does it, as an example. Is the school gets it, and then they'll apportion because the contracts now are for the entire athletic department.
Well, now it's morphed into what's in the Notre Dame catalog, what's in the bookstore. You know, what's in all that?
Oh, sure,
stuff.
Yeah. It's licensed material. But it's also, it's outfitting the football team, the basketball team. You know, I mean, there was a time when basketball could be using one brand and football could be using another. It's, you know, it's down to the golf team now, to the, you know, all of those other sports are outfitted as well.
Well, I remember when, as a matter of fact, I happened to be watching a practice when Digger Phelps, they signed the first shoe contract, but then, you know, Notre Dame did champion and everything in the bookstore, and I forget who it was, if it was Adidas or who it was.
Phelps had one with Pony.
Might have been Pony, because I remember all of a sudden they stopped practice, and all the guys were wearing, guess what, Converse All-Stars, and they came out with all the Ponies, everybody picked a pair and put them on, and continued practice, and half the guys said, screw it, I don't like these shoes, I want my Converse back, I'm getting blisters, they all changed back. But I mean, I must say that particular contract was something Digger Phelps signed that never made it to the bookstore because, you know, Pony or whatever it was. I bet it was just for basketball, like you're saying, or just for maybe Digger, which is sort of different than like today, like you're saying.
Right. But, yeah, like I said, that whole business has changed, and you're right. It's really driven by, you know, the whole licensed merchandise aspect of it.
Well, that's why people wear the one, I'll use the term, stupid-looking uniform a year, is because the whoever it is, Adidas or a Nike or everybody, wants that extra jersey in the bookstore, right?
Yeah, it's one more you can sell.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. Does hockey still has a limit, don't they, Matty? You can only sell four, or something. You got they think you got to have rules. You can only sell four colors.
I think you can sell whatever you want, but the team per season can license four colors.
That's what I meant.
I think the NBA does the same thing. In football, I think it's only three. In the NFL,
so the Bears got the blue, the white, and the orange.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if this is still true, but at one time anyway, that's kind of how it was. You would get one alternate, maybe two alternates, and baseball I think is the same. I think all the pro sports do that.
We've been baseball, but the Hawks can only. You can only do the. See, I think that might have changed, Matty, because when they come out with the throwback, I think you can do that for a while. For a while, it was obviously the red, the white, the black, and then they would do the St. Patrick's Day green, right? The Hawks would sell.
Yeah,
and but now I think you can do the throwback too.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, why not?
Well, I mean, for some reason the league didn't want to have 10, and they had a rule. I don't know whether they should have or not. You know, who knows, but they did, I think. Anyway, S&P Futures now up 575. Dow Futures up 65. NASDAQ Futures up 13. We're going to try and see if we can make this many days in a row of a rally. We'll see. We've been pretty strong. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, and it's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Alley, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures still up 5.25. Dow futures up 60. NASDAQ futures up 17. I had those guys up 12.5 last night after the speeches. But they're up 5 now. DAX up 110, that's 1%. FTSE up 70, that's 1%. CAC around up 54, that's 1.1%. They're off the dime, just a hair there. But everybody in Europe is up. We're obviously, the U.S.-China trade talks wrapped up, and allegedly there's progress with more high-level people going within a week or two, I guess. So I guess that's good news. Well, it is good news. Nobody likes tariffs. Nikkei up 233, 1.1%. Shanghai up 17.7%. Hang Seng up 586, 2.2%. 26,462. We're back into this. If you're a Fibonacci person, which you, everything is in two-thirds, and I'm not, Kevin Reardon used to give us lectures on that. We're back sort of in that range where when you have a big sell-off or a big purchase rally, when you have this two-thirds retracement, that's when it's kind of go time. We'll see if this comeback has wheels here or not in the next couple of weeks. Oil up another $1.19, over $50, $50.97. Spent about $1.30, $60. I spent most of yesterday rolling my XLE position up, and I've got it right in the crosshairs, right where I want it. We'll see if now I have to do something again today, as I keep chasing a thing. But so far, so good. Gold down $3.50, $12.82. Silver down 2 cents, $15.69. So they're coming down, but they're not showing any signs of going back below 1200 like they were before. Copper up 2 cents, $2.68. Platinum up 5.30, $8.27. Maybe we got first traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues already on the north side, Chief. Outbound Edens, just before Peterson Avenue, there's a crash blocking the left lane, so that's affecting the outbound Kennedy and the outbound Edens there, just past the sort of a fork in the road between the Edens and the Kennedy. And then just west of there on the Kennedy side, this is on the inbound, left lane is blocked due to a crash just before Austin Avenue. So a couple of issues not too far apart from each other on the Edens and the Kennedy. So keep that in mind if you're heading in from the north and northwestern suburbs. Eisenhower looks okay. No issues on the Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking good. We have a malfunctioning traffic light at Mannheim and Cermak, where the lights are flashing red, and that's causing a bit of congestion. Out in the southwestern suburbs, Gaylord Road between Chestnut and Division is closed due to road construction. That started this morning, and that will last at least through Thursday. So if that is part of your commute, keep that in mind. Western suburbs, Stern Road at McLean Boulevard out near Wayne, there's a crash with possible entrapment at Stearns and McLean. So emergency crews are on the scene there. And just north of there in Elgin, Route 31 between Spruce Drive and Lincoln Avenue is blocked due to fallen power cables. So the intersection of Route 31 and Main is closed due to those fallen power cables, and crews are working to get that cleared up. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, if you haven't noticed, it got cold. It is. It's right now cloudy and 20. It feels like 6 degrees downtown. We're going to a high of 25 with wind chills in the upper single digits to the low teens. So dress warm as you're heading out this morning. We're back to winter after a nice few weeks of 40-degree weather. Again, 20 going up to 25 today, but high winds, so it's going to feel colder than that. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 72. Right now it's mostly clear and 46. In sports, quiet night last night locally. Bulls were off, as were the Blackhawks. Suns were in action. They beat the Kings 115-111. College Hoops, Loyola was blown out at Evansville 67-48. And the White Sox continue to make some minor moves ahead of hoping to land Manny Machado. They signed former Cub John Jay to a one-year $4 million deal. Chief.
By the way, Matty, the natural gas traders, which natural gas under $3 at $2.99, down from $4.50, are saying your cold warnings are going to last about 12 hours.
I hope so. I looked at the weather forecast. That's not going to happen, but I hope it does.
Well, another couple of weeks, though, we kind of got a lot of the, you know, we can still happen with the potential 15 below zeros is kind of getting behind us by the day as we creep through January here.
Don't jinx it.
No. But that kind of stuff is somewhat rare once you get past January. You know, it's late December, early January usually, but it can be.
Yeah. It can easily happen any time in February, and certainly it could happen the first part of March.
It's an interesting. I wonder when the last day of winter we had a below zero temperature recorded.
Oh no! I will try to find out.
You probably could. So, Kevin, we have.
Hey, before you get away from that John Jay signing, lifelong buddy of Machado and Machado's brother-in-law, who they have also signed.
Yeah, I read that. So they're pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, they're doing everything they can to make coming to the White Sox attractive for him.
I understand he has a sister who plays right field for the Ladies League. They can hire her, too.
You know what? Given some of the guys I saw playing for the White Sox last year, she might be able to take a starting job.
Well, we've certainly seen some pretty good players in softball the last few years. It's
Yes, nevertheless, as I always say with basketball, 6'3" is a point guard in men's, and 6'3" is a center in women's. You can't make up for the physiology. You will occasionally get the 6'6" or 6'7" woman in basketball, but you're still saying that there's a 20% difference in muscle mass. So it's one of those deals where as you look at the athletes, you just have to appreciate them for what they are and who they are, and how they compete, because comparing physical capabilities is just they'll lose every time. It's not a fair comparison.
Well, comparing us playing basketball for 2 hours for exercise because we love it, compared to the NBA, it's still basketball, it's still fun.
That's right. Yeah, hey, I'm going tomorrow night to see number one against number two in women's basketball. I'm going to go see Notre Dame host Louisville.
Did all the girls from last year, they have 5 ACLs, did all of them heal up fine, or are they playing this year, or some haven't tried?
Well, not all of them are playing because, one of them, why am I forgetting her name? One of them had a baby, so she had a year of eligibility, but she's not coming back. her high school sweetheart, and she had a baby. Her high school sweetheart is Mitchell Wiggin.
Okay.
Of the, or Andrew, excuse me, Andrew Wiggin of the Timberwolves.
Okay.
So I'm expecting an uber basketball player in about 18 years. Let's see, who else? Turner's back. Vaughn is back. She just got rid of the heavy-duty knee brace, the kind of knee brace that an offensive lineman wears, and is starting to move a little bit. And, you know, I must be missing somebody because there were four.
Are there is there a specific time where, like, everybody comes back? Or there was a guy at the club, the Buckingham, and I forget his name. He's from the trading floor, and I think he finally is not on the floor anymore, so I haven't seen him. But he was one of these guys that was maybe 160, 70 pounds at most. Kevin, spectacular condition. I mean as elite of condition you'd ever see in somebody who's not, you know, a professional athlete. And somebody whacked into him skiing, and he had an ACL tear. And I'm going to say, even with that guy doing everything he was supposed to do, it was a solid, you know, really 10 months before he started to really look like he'd never had a problem, and probably a year. I mean, it's not something you can short-circuit too much.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And as an example, one of the women that Notre Dame had out last year was Brianna Turner. She probably could have played circa February, because she had gotten hurt in the NCAA tournament the year before. So she wasn't ready to go at the start of the season, and she wasn't quite ready to even start practicing until maybe December to January. But, you know, at that point, they said she's only got the 1 year left. Why spend it on a month and a half of basketball? So in her case, she just held out to this year, and now she's a grad student. She's going to get her MBA, and she's going to play basketball.
Good for her.
And she is playing basketball, and she's very, very good. You know, she was the ACC. I don't remember if she was player of the year as a junior or defensive player of the year, but either way, she was really good.
Was there any, you were talking one of these weeks, you were saying, you and Maddie were having a discussion because it was over my pay grade, about how the redshirting rules had changed for football. And you guys, I wouldn't mind having you repeat that, both of you guys, because it was interesting. Have there been corresponding changes in the other sports as well, or just football?
There have not been corresponding changes in the other sports. But basketball, for an injury, the guideline on that is about a third of the season. So if you play a third of the season, then you are unlikely. You would need some special handling or a special waiver to get an extra year. Now, if you remember, Rex Pfluger for Notre Dame got hurt in the Purdue game. He got in just under the wire, and he is coming back next year.
A grad student, he's going to graduate?
So he's going to play a fifth year.
A graduate?
That's an example. But if he had played one more game, then that would have been out of the question.
How was that a third of the year? It was in December.
It was like the 10th or 11th game.
All right, okay. I mean, I thought they, all those preseason tournaments, they count as like one game, even though you played four or something.
Yeah, I forget how that works, but yes, it's something like that being a factor.
Well, what is like? I have no idea. Maybe what's baseball like? What's soccer like? What's men's lacrosse and women's lacrosse? I mean, what are their? Is it the same sort of thing? If you get hurt, half, you know,
yeah, don't know, don't follow it closely enough.
Because you go to a lot of those games.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
I mean, it would be just like NCAA to have different rules for every sport, obviously. I mean, I'm not sure they do, but.
Yeah, the other bit of news is that Elijah Burns, who left Notre Dame after, about four or five games, and transferred, did a grad transfer to Siena, applied for a waiver to try and play this year, and that was denied. So he will have a fifth year playing for Siena next year, and I think they're going to appeal the decision because Notre Dame supported him in being allowed to play, but basically they're saying you can't play for two teams in the same year.
What's Siena? Where are they?
Siena is a college in
New York.
In New Rochelle, New York, if I remember correctly. But it's in one of those Eastern, Division I league.
Well, sir, Division One, okay.
Yeah. It's given us such coaches as Paul Hewitt, who went on to Georgia Tech. I think Fran McCaffrey, from Iowa, coached there beforehand.
Well, I thought you were talking football.
Siena's had some good seasons.
I thought you were talking football, so I sort of blanked them out. Yeah, the weirdest story was my buddy who his niece went to she was a soccer goalie, so she goes to Illinois, and if somebody leaves the other school, I don't know.
So it's not a goalie; it's a goalkeeper.
Okay,
or just a keeper.
All right, let's.
I've been corrected on that enough times.
Oh well, yeah, I don't know. So she goes; she doesn't get a ride. The senior who is on a ride, she beats her out as a freshman, so she basically plays the entire freshman year. The next year, they decide they're still not going to give her a ride, and they give a scholarship to some girl coming out of high school, like you normally would. So she says, "I'm out of here." Goes somewhere else. Illinois has the nerve to protest her ability to play somewhere else, and they never gave her a dime. And evidently, it was upheld by the NCAA. She had to sit out a year. What the bleep is that all about?
This is why, whenever I see people complaining about, someone transferring or, any of those, they go, look, this whole game is rigged against them. When they have the rare opportunity to have the rules work in their favor, let them.
It is really amazing how people don't want anybody else to get any sort of an advantage. It's I still go back to the saloon in South Bend. Everybody in the world outside of you is overpaid. You know, but it is the mentality is really you see what's going on with this government shutdown and the people that all of a sudden normally. You know, Kevin, you would say, when I say normally, I can't pick a time in the world when it was normal. If you should say that in an ideal world, especially government employees should really, since it's a pretty, normally a pretty solid job, you should be able to miss one paycheck without all kinds of hell breaking loose financially for a family. I mean, you should. But I honestly think, Kevin, with the stock market running around and some limited number of companies and seemingly increasing amounts of industries doing spectacularly well, and a lot of people at the top end in those companies doing exceptionally well. I mean, it's almost at a point where I feel I have to do, and I know I'd be wrong on this, even Carl would be all over me. I can tell you almost by how much the top five people get paid, whether it's a competitive industry or not. Now, I know there are people that are that good, right? But I think it's somewhat rare, that, somebody all of a sudden is worth, $50 million a year or whatever. I mean, there are people that are like that, but here's a good one for you. Maddie's heard this term before. When somebody is just that good, we almost can't pay them enough. What's the economic term for that? Ding, 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 Kevin, you should know this.
I don't know. We should name it after me, though, but go ahead.
It's called pure economic rent. I don't know why they...
Okay.
There's really no salary you could have paid Roosevelt, right? There's no salary you could have paid Einstein. There's no salary you could have paid Edison. And when a guy's popping out patents worth God knows what seemingly monthly, right? I mean, there's nothing that says, Mr. Edison, you're worth $50,000 a year, according to my scale here, like it or lump it. I mean, but the point is, you probably couldn't have paid, in terms of baseball, there was a few years you probably couldn't have paid Babe Ruth enough. I mean, because look what he did for every other team, not just the Yankees. That type of thing. I mean, there are some entertainers that probably were unparalleled in their time, that type of thing. But it's sort of rare. Anyway, where I'm going with this is, if all the people that are working for the government are that hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, you can't tell me this economy is where we want it, Kevin. Just another little anecdotal point, I think, that I've locked away. And I mean, I love the idea of growth in the economy, but I want it spread out a little bit. And I don't. We're talking about the people that are getting the coal increases every year versus a lot of the people you and I know that haven't in 20 years. If they're all hurting, where does it put the rest of the people?
Tom, I don't know if they are curtain because government employees, especially in Washington, are very, very well paid. You know, the statistics on them, you know, on the salaries are that they're much, much higher than the average person. But regardless of that, they haven't missed a paycheck yet. The first one they're going to miss is Friday.
Well, and they'll get it back.
It's not resolved, and if it's resolved, they aren't going to miss any.
Well, I got to believe the when you get out of that level, the guys that are the border people, that are the TSA people, probably are somewhat hand to mouth. I mean, they're not making that much.
They may be, but we haven't shut down TSA.
No, but they're not going to get paid. I'm not positive on that, but a lot of people are forced to work without a paycheck, and some people have been laid off. A lot of people that are working are not getting paid. I don't know where the Maddie, I don't know if you can find a where the cutoff of there is, but there are people that are in part of their job description. If something like this happens, they're forced to work without pay, and then they get it when, well, they always have gotten it because Congress has voted it, and the people who are off, they end up getting paid too. So it's kind of ridiculous for them to be off because they end up getting paid in the so essentially the parks are closed for 2 months. People who worked in the park were home for 2 months and then they get a check.
And
obviously,
yeah, and I, you know, there it's not that this is without impact because I can tell you that right now, financial aid approvals for school are not going through.
Well,
you know, that's one of the things that is affected.
It says 800,000 people are affected right now. 420,000 employees reported to work without getting paid after the new year.
Yeah, it's like half are actually have to work and aren't getting paid. Well, now they're not getting a paycheck this week. Yeah, one of my clients. It's always bizarre. I mean, obviously, I love talking to my clients. One of my clients calls up and he goes, "I got this problem. You ever dealt with the IRS?" And I go, "Well, years ago, I did a little bit." And he goes, "Like, I call him up and there's like nobody there." I go, "Duh, they're laid off." Why? I go, "Yeah, have you heard about the shutdown?"
Yeah, it says 41,000 are law enforcement, Bureau of Alcohol, Bureau of Prisons, FBI agents, U.S.
Those are
Marshals,
the guys that are working.
DEA.
Those are the guys that are working.
Homeland Security, up to 88% of the Homeland Security employees are affected, 53,000 TSA employees, 54,000 Customs and Border Protection agents, 42,000 Coast Guards. Isn't it ironic, 54,000 Border Protection agents?
Yeah.
As many as 5,000 Forest Service firefighters and 3,600 National Weather Service forecasters.
Where are the people that actually aren't going to work at all, though? Is that like the National Park people and the IRS? And
I'm trying to find the breakdown here of exactly who's working without a paycheck and who just yeah. doesn't have
I
a job.
I know IRS is one of them because that's where a lot of the you know, this is just because I'm, you know, it's I'm living it. You know, school starts next week, and the, you know, it's approvals via the IRS for eligibility.
Right. So here's the
now. You know, most students get their financial aid approved in the fall, so it's not killing everybody, but there are some new students who are in line waiting for approvals and not getting them.
So here's the folks, there's 380,000 employees that are out of work without pay. That's 86% of the Department of Commerce, 96% of NASA, 80% of the National Park Service, 80% of the Forest Service, 30% of the Department of Transportation, 95% of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and then approximately 52,000 IRS staff members.
So we got the couple guys up in the space station with the two... Was it two of our guys and two Ruskies, and we laid off all their support staff down here. How do you feel like being one of those guys? Are they getting paid? Would you?
Well, I don't know, but they're not in a position to spend it anyway.
So. No, would you want to be up there knowing that we can't go get you, Kevin? Can you think of anything? To me, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Of us
what makes you think we can just go get them anyway?
I'm saying we don't have a craft that can get there, do we? Or can bring them back? Since the shuttle,
there must be a way. Or
yeah, the Russians have been doing it a couple of months ago.
The other way to do that is it might be a good little private enterprise run. You know, now can we make runs to the space station?
Well, I think what's his name is getting there. I don't know if it's Tesla. Who are the other guys that are doing that stuff? I think they might have delivered. They might have delivered stuff to it. I'm fuzzy on this. Matty, see, I think they have they've delivered cargo, but I don't think they're capable of bringing a guy back. Just saying, I don't think they are. But anyway,
I'm all in on a Saturday Night Live skit where they, you know, there's a knock and they go Candy Graham.
Did you listen to the Saturday Night Live one about the Bears? I can't believe it was 26 years ago, Kevin.
No, I didn't. You know, I don't know why so many people adore that. It was actually kind of making fun of Chicagoans and Bears fans.
It's kind of spot on with a lot of ones I've met.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you should wear it as a badge of honor.
As a matter of fact, I met George Wendt. He was pretty much like that. He was a Bear fan. He wasn't that much. He wasn't much out of roll. And he liked to drink beer, so it's like he wasn't out of roll at all. With talking about acting
and
yourself.
I'm sure he at least looks like a guy who liked his sausage.
Oh god, yeah. I love the guy drops it on the letter. The other guy's trying to wipe it up with the sausage. God. Anyway, so Kevin, we have obviously the things that are going on politically. We have the market doing what it's doing. We have the economy doing what it's doing. We seem to have. And the thing that really kind of horrifies me, we talked about it with Carl yesterday, we'll go over it again, is a lot of these debt issues that are kind of hanging out there anyway, some of what the policies are doing right now with the tariffs and everything, and hopefully, you know, those are over soon, a lot of what they're doing is they're kind of, you know, it's like we've got alligators all around us, and we got somebody around, like, opening the doors. I mean, we don't need, with all this debt piling up in China and here, and China own a lot of our stuff. We don't need to drive them into the rat hole, and yet we seem to have people in government that love the fact that that they're going. You know, their economy is sputtering. Don't they realize the connections? I don't know how they.
Is there anybody out there who could run for office and lay this out in a way that gets the attention of voters and makes it understandable for voters?
I'm going to say no, because it's way beyond the 40 character tweet or whatever a tweet is.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but you know, somewhere this has to get through, and you know, I don't know. I've said this before. You know, there is a moment here that the libertarians could seize, but they should be out there running issue ads nonstop now,
right.
And it, you know, in key places, just quick hit, single issue. Don't make it complicated. This is doable, and they should. You know, I know they're out there on social media touting things, but are they really? You know, you have to make the messages short and simple, and I think this is doable for anybody with, you know, a little bit of vision for it. It's long haul. It's not gonna make the next election cycle, but it's still worth doing because we need to start getting people on board. And we're certainly not, you know, our school systems aren't educating people well enough in what these issues are, so we got to get it somewhere.
Even though it's costing us a lot of money. Kevin, thank you. Talk to you Friday. SP Futures now up 850. Dow Futures up 99, almost 100. NASDAQ Futures up 20, so we're redding up again today. We got oil up. Might have another good day. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Now, time out. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes, soon to be PhD Russell Rhodes, with us. SP Futures now up 9. Dow Futures up 109. NASDAQ up 31. We were up a little bit. Now we've been increasing to the upside as we got here. It looks like we've been, let's be like 5 days in a row. And, we slapped our new Fed guy back in line. So we got him. Realizing his job now is to pump up markets and not really do anything else.
Exactly.
And we've got, we're going to take care of those Chinese dudes, and we've got a few more mergers and acquisitions, concentrating things even a little bit more. So we're good to go for the next decade. Right, Russell?
Yeah, we're fine. You and I are good through retirement.
Yeah.
Now, the next generation,
not so good. Maybe not so good.
So, hey, before we digress into anything, I want you to know that you would be extremely proud of my oldest daughter. She actually schooled her teacher on inflation yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I listen to this. I don't think I've ever heard that much surprise in your voice.
She listens to us on the air, so she probably
She does. She listens on Wednesdays when they're when I'm here, because it's one of the few times they get to hear my voice.
Yes.
And they were talking about the minimum wage to Walmart, or about raising wages for Walmart workers, and why is that bad? And she explained if everybody makes $25 an hour right now, and an apple costs $25, and everybody gets raised to $50 an hour, and everybody's going to think they can buy two apples now. Well, eventually the price of an apple is going to come up to $50, and it's not going to make any difference. Nice round numbers, and I got to work on her perspective as to how much an apple costs. But I was really, pretty impressed. Something I'm saying is actually getting through there.
I'm thinking that she probably wants a new apple and thinks you should think it's $50.
The high school she goes to, we have to buy her an iPad.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's a private school. They can't, they can make us do that. But all their textbooks are on an iPad. So, yeah, she knows she's getting a new Apple device already. So that may be where that came from.
Ah, because my mother's cousin in Columbus, this is a while ago. I haven't seen him in a bit, which is unfortunate. He's a terrific guy. His granddaughter was going to Ohio State, and everybody had to have a certain kind of a laptop. But he ended up, what's the new... You don't see this around too often because they're not that. They're not that cheap. It's the Microsoft tablet.
Oh, Surface.
Yeah, and where you can type into it, or you can pull it apart. You can use it sort of as a laptop or as a computer, depending on if you. He said that thing is spectacular in terms of it.
That's actually what I have.
Because he said it blew away all the specs that Ohio State wanted on anything. It was like double whatever they wanted. And anyway, he thought it was pretty nice. I mean, it looked pretty nice to me. Plus, it being Windows based, I could probably even use it. Just saying.
Yeah, somebody could walk
teach
you
me
through that.
Walk me through that. Yeah. Sometimes it's very difficult. These Luddite sort of dudes. One thing that is sort of odd. By the way, did you listen to the show yesterday with Carl?
I did not. I was on a plane during the show.
Well, Carl, yet again. He digs up numbers that, of course nobody else can find. And then he tells you how easy it is to find them, which is even worse. I didn't want to argue too much, because usually he's right, unfortunately. He claims that even in the years where we had that, allegedly huge deficit, surplus, when Clinton and in 2000, when we, one year was allegedly $236 billion, which isn't a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Claims if you added all the numbers back in, the Social Security and all the other stuff, that it's all a lie, because there never was a surplus year.
I believe that's true, and I have that recollection. And when that was going on, when they said there was a surplus, and I was kind of an anti-Clinton guy. I use that argument as well, and I remember seeing the numbers behind it. And I can't, that's been a long time now, like 25 years or whatever. But that argument was out there at the time. I do recall that.
Well, I do remember them, redeeming bonds early and buying them in the open market and stuff, though.
Yeah, they were doing that. And one of the things that Clinton did that was kind of pretty smart was he took a look at the interest rates on the different levels of government debt. Remember 25, 30 years ago, the big trader was the 30-year bond.
Oh, God, yeah.
And now it's the 10-year. And I believe that's a result of some of the things that Clinton did, where he basically shortened the debt because he saw that the interest payments would be lower.
Well, there was no 30-year for a decade.
Yeah. I mean, they took it down to much shorter dated borrowing, which means your interest expenses aren't as great, and the net result is, hey, look, we got a surplus.
I think it was different than that. They thought they would never need them again.
What, the 30 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which obviously didn't turn out to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say anything nice about Trump, but I will say I will say this about the Trump people, the Trumpies, which, I mean, the guy has no idea what the truth is. I mean, I'm not talking about just as president, just as, you know, contractors and things he's had to his place, because I've talked to some of them, and just a despicable human being, in my opinion. Maybe no more despicable than Hillary, but pretty despicable on his own. A lot of people, when you look at what, you know, the stuff that Carl comes up with, a lot of things that you and I and the Wednesday show always talk about, and even looking at the talking heads on CNBC and other places, when we talk about, like what your daughter's saying, this wage inflation, what I remember of that era, the wage inflation was the last year or two. It really had nothing to do with how it all started and the main reason why there was inflation at the time. It just was the last couple of years as people ended up getting COLA increases, and because it's such a lagging indicator, I'm going to say the last year, people had to raise prices because people were getting wage increases that probably, I'm going to say, weren't deserved because the inflation was already gone. It just took a while to work it through the system. But I'm saying the defense is, on most people's part, the Trumpies, and this is the one you can't argue with, Maddie, because they just say that every single politician has always lied. Why? I mean, he might be a little better at it or worse at it, or whatever you look at it, but all these other guys, you can't believe any of these people. But I'm listening to these people run for mayor in Chicago, and I want to have a few of them on the air, although I don't know how that would work out, because I would like them to answer a question honestly. God bless it. Every single one of them, they either have no idea what they're talking about in terms of money and other stuff they know more than I do, or for God's sake, Russell, they don't know how to add. I mean, there's two or three of them.
No, they're just saying what they need to say to get elected.
Well, yeah, and I guess in that regard, Trump is no different, you know.
Yeah, he said what he needed to say to get elected. That's the unfortunate thing about the process behind selecting our leaders. It's whoever says the best things to get elected, and then when they get in there, typically they don't necessarily do what they said they were going to do on the campaign trail. He's tried to do a lot of what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail that people didn't necessarily believe.
Well,
like people didn't believe the wall thing, and he continues to push on that one.
That seems to be more
on that one.
I'm going to say that seems to be more of a Republican trait. Mm-hmm. And when I say,
and actually, I think it depends on the perspective you come from with it. I watched the stuff with my daughter. I watched both speeches with my daughter, and we sped through the commentary. Our agreement was we would watch just what they said, what each side said, without having any filter whatsoever last night, and. She was all over everything that Trump said was untrue.
Well,
no way more people have died of drug overdoses in a year than we lost in Vietnam. Actually, and we checked the numbers, and that one was actually true. I didn't think.
Well, but I mean, if you're going to talk about
it, weren't true.
If you're talking about an oxycodone overdose in New Hampshire and pin that on the people on the border when it's made by a pharmaceutical company, that's a stretch.
But it was like 72,000 versus 58,000.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
We looked it up, but no, it was just immediately, anytime they would throw a figure out, because she leans way on the other side at 14, she just automatically was saying, he's lying about that. He's lying about that. And when he said that Schumer had actually supported, you know, border security in the past, and now he didn't. She goes, "There's no way that's true." And I'm like, "Yeah, actually, that one is actually true. The other side was tough on it in the past." So it was just kind of, I don't know. It was just kind of funny to listen to her, to watch her reactions to everything he said. She's conditioned to believe every single thing that our president says is untrue,
and it's automatically, without even. And it's really only 20% of the stuff, or 80% is untrue?
Well, I'm just telling you that she, you know, the first kind of figure she threw out there, goes, there's no way that's true. He's lying again.
I'm going to say
that conditioned to automatically think. Maybe that's good. Maybe if we can condition the next couple of generations to think that everything a politician says on both sides is a lie, we could end up with some better leadership at some point.
It's probably not such a bad. You know, did you ever read? I don't think this was ever produced. I've looked for it on the internet. Of course, I'm not the world's best internet surfer. The book that used to come out, The Making of the Presidency. 1960 was the first one. Was it Theodore H. White? Is that the guy?
I don't.
And every 4 years he would put out The Making of the Presidency, 64, 68. And the year Bush ran against Gore, the hanging Chad's year. The deal is you get to embed a young well, it doesn't have to be young, but you get to embed a well, I guess a newspaper guy, for lack of a better term, a reporter in each campaign. So you throw a young Manny Weber in the campaign, and he gets to go everywhere, go to every meeting, gets to do whatever he wants to do. He just can't report on anything. Nobody can see note one until after the election. Then you can write the book. Okay.
Okay.
And that's the deal. So, well, of course, that election didn't end on the day it was supposed to end, right? So technically, these guys, I guess, could publish. I don't think the book ever came out, Russell. I mean, if it did, it was zero fanfare. But somewhere buried at home, I know I still have the either Time or Newsweek article where they got like a huge pre-rendition of the book in there. It's got to be 50 pages long at a time, maybe 40, where they talked about the two campaigns. And the difference between how the two parties essentially get financed is probably one of the reasons why the Republicans are a little more attuned to doing what they say in the campaign than the Democrats are. I mean, in that particular year, the Republicans, of course, hated Clinton, you know, with the Lewinsky and all the other goofy stuff going on. They couldn't stand the guy. They couldn't stand the guy. And, so they were deciding they got to get the White House back. So I think it was Schultz that was Reagan's, what, Secretary of Treasury and Secretary of State. I think he's still alive. He's got to be way up there, but I think he's still alive. He essentially held this big meeting somewhere down in Texas, you know, where all the good old boys are. And they interviewed people essentially for the presidency, and got to George Bush, and they said, "Okay, he obviously owned a Major League Baseball team, which puts you on a cloud nine, you know, especially because you get the sports fans, the guys are ball, you know, he owned a baseball team, loves baseball." He said, "If you," and he was a pretty popular governor actually, and won twice in statewide election, and they said, "If you could just somehow keep all the crap from before age 40." Away from him, he's a solid guy. He's not going to screw up. He's not going to say the wrong thing. No, not maybe not the sharpest knife in the drawer, or even in the family, because I think Jeb's probably smarter. But but not a bad guy. I mean, somebody out of all the guys that have been ex presidents, he'd probably be the first guy I'd want to have a beer with. But he doesn't.
Yeah, I've always felt that way about him.
So I mean, I have no real problem with him. So these guys essentially raise him $30 million, and then he goes to New Hampshire and he gets his ass kicked by this guy McCain, who they couldn't stand. Because you couldn't
try. Yeah.
And so between the New Hampshire and the what they used to call the next primaries, Carolina and the rest, was it Big Tuesday?
The caucus?
No. It was
the Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday. Big Tuesday, Super Tuesday. They dropped all this stuff on the then fledgling internet about his wife cheating on him when he was a POW, how he actually gave information to the North Vietnamese. That's why he survived, and other people did. And basically, Bush kicks his ass down there. And that's why McCain, even at the convention, wouldn't shake hands with the guy. Well, these guys felt they basically just pissed away their $30 million on a loser. So this is according to this article now. They got into the fight. But the point being is the Republican Party, the party, is capable of raising a real lot of money for what the, quote, party, or at least the more conservative part of the party, thinks is their, what's the, when you go to the convention and you, what's the thing you work on for 2 days? Where your plan? What do they call a plan?
Where they come up with the planks.
There's a name for it. So they actually have things that they basically care about, you know, taxation and other stuff. Where the Democratic Party, nobody, especially the minorities, and this is not, you know, a slam on anybody, nobody sends money. I mean, put it this way: if I was a Republican, and I would send $1,000 to the National Democratic Party, or Republican Party. I mean, nobody does that to the Democratic Party because you don't know who the hell's running. You don't know what their feelings are going to be on what. You don't want to send you don't want to send money to a place where you might end up with Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. I mean, they're not going to do anything that I may want them to do as a Democrat. They can do whatever they damn well please. So the party is much more in kind of disarray. So it's a lot easier for Bill Clinton to wander over to the extreme left, get checks from guys that are movie stars and everything else, and Soros and people, and then say, screw you guys, I'm doing what I want to do. Republicans, it's harder to do that, because the party probably helped you in your campaign, where the Democrats, if you're effective raising money, they want money from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, if you read this thing and kind of keep your eye peeled on what has happened since, you can see why, you know, like Trump, even though he didn't get much, I don't think he got any money from the party, but say he did, he's going to be more concerned about jamming a tax decrease for wealthy people on the rest of us. You know, that's not saying it's a good, bad idea. He's going to be way more concerned about that than a Democrat is with a campaign primaries, because the money didn't come to him with that tag on it in the Democratic side. Remember, is this making sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And
I could see different years, that different cycles at running different, you know, it working differently depending on, you know, the process and what the outcome was.
But if Hillary would have lost the thing to either Bernie Sanders or say somebody else, that mm-hmm. somebody else, and certainly Bernie, I mean, Maddie will opine on this, owed the National Committee zero, like less than zero. Yeah. I mean, they tried to torpedo them, right? Basically. I mean, well, what would you care about that National Committee? They're not helping you at all.
Right. No,
Bernie's not a Democrat.
Off on the whatever direction he wanted to go off on.
Well, he's not a Democrat either.
Well, but he
he's not.
He's an independent and has been for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, Trump not really Republican.
Trump
either.
is right wing as they come, and all he does is blast Democrats and say, "Are you playing on the Republican team or not?" He couldn't be more of a Republican.
But there's been times in his life, I think, when he's been a Democrat.
Yeah, he switched over. I mean, it's been a while. It's kind of like you said that, you know, George W. Bush, anything he did before 40 was different than the guy that got elected president.
Yeah.
And I mean, and part of it, and if you hear Trump, to Matt's defense on this, if you hear Trump talk about it, he goes, look, I lived in New York City. I couldn't be a Republican and do business. So.
I honestly think that when Trump started, this might, I don't know if this is a shot or, I'm just lobbing this out there. You guys feel free to have a vote more than mine on this one. I think Maddie, he lobbed out there and kind of saw where his message landed and then changed the message to direct it at those people.
I think he reads Breitbart and watches Fox and Friends every morning and has for 20 years, and all of his tweets and thoughts are basically a commenter on one of those sites.
Don't disagree, but I'm saying in terms of he has. How am I going to say this without people coming after me? Let them come after me. He has nothing in common with the guy wearing a wife beater and a beer in a trailer park, and yet you'd swear that he's one of their people. I mean, he didn't.
No,
start.
Neither did George W. Bush. He went to Yale, for God's sake. Yeah. I mean, he's the son of a president, but those are the people that vote for him.
Well, but those people. Those people, that's an awful thing to say. Those people, 20 years ago, were all Democrats.
More like 40 or 50 years ago.
What do you think?
Clinton won some of the South because he's from Arkansas, but the South switched from Democrat to Republican quite a long time ago.
I'm talking about the northern people like that.
The Rust Belt people, if that's what you're like, the Ohio... Yeah.
Your union, your disenfranchised union workers vote a lot differently than union workers that had a job.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah,
and they're, but the idea that everybody has this sort of, I don't know, Russell, did you listen? I want to think about that, Maddie. I didn't get a chance to mention to you yesterday. The guy on Face the Nation, a young Democrat, said, "How did you win your campaign?" He said, "We did it just like Trump. We told everybody that Washington's not working, and you need people there to make it work." That seems to be everybody's theme from the Obama. I'm a young guy. I'm going to Washington. I don't have a chance to be co-opted. I just got here. I'm a changer. I'm not in the swamp yet. and that didn't work, and then we got a guy from outside the swamp, and now we got young Democrats saying they're going to clean out the swamp. Same message. I mean, you think anybody, once they get there, is going to do what they're supposed to do and do what people want them to do? Start talking, fix things, and you know, do some stuff? It doesn't seem like it, does it? Or are the numbers just too high? I mean, Russell, you haven't been here in a week, and maybe it's not so obvious, but I've been cleaning my spot here. And I come across...
Oh, you have?
Well, the problem is I find a piece of paper from...
He's been shuffling around papers.
Well, I found one from 9 years ago that...
I wouldn't call it cleaning.
I'm organizing. Well, I found one, and it's spectacular.
It's a new year.
Yeah, well, but, you know, the reason why I kept it 9 years ago is because I wanted to keep it. It still reads good. You know, it's not like you want to throw it out now. So I found one that said, somebody did this big survey, now whatever the hell that means, of American people. They all want solid government. They want a balanced budget. It was like four things. Yet they don't want any entitlement programs cut, and they don't want any taxes raised. So whatever it is, it's going to be on somebody else. You know, so it's like Chicago. Let's try and find a way to tax conventioners. Well, what if we lose all the conventioners yet? Well, we'll worry about that 5 years from now, but right now I just want to tax them. Or we'll tax people driving on the toll road from North Dakota to New York because they don't have the easy pass. We'll charge them $2 for a toll. We'll charge other people $1.
A little bit more money.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever it is, or if you're an alderman and you got a limousine, let's charge the people that have to park downtown when I never have to park because I got a driver. Basically, if you're in the city, now you want to charge the commuters. Okay.
Yep.
I mean, whatever it is.
If you're in the city, you want to charge the people. Yeah. You want to try to get some sort of income tax on people that don't work in the city.
Yeah. Let's make the a parking ticket $90 billion because I'm too smart. I'm never going to get one. And one day, your wife or you walks in with one, and you say, "How the hell is this thing going to be $200 and $150 in front of a fire hydrant by an inch and a half when there hasn't been a fire here in 500 years." I mean, at some point when it does come down on you, then it's not so funny. You know, as they used to say on the floor when people were winging around paper, I don't know if you remember this, it's funny until somebody loses an eye or an eighth, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for a line, Matty? It's funny until somebody loses an eye or an eighth. Yeah. what did you make of the stuff last night? Anything or just?
No, there was nothing new from either side. I think everybody was expecting. I actually think the press was hoping for something new that they could talk about because after he was finished and we were watching on NBC, all the talking heads they brought in were like, they didn't really seem to have. They seemed a little flabbergasted because it wasn't as shocking and wasn't going to be. They weren't going to have, they didn't have enough to rebut. They actually started talking about things he had previously said. I think he kept it at a high enough. I think both sides just kind of kept it at a high enough level that we didn't get any new insight into the whole situation, even though they messed up our TV schedule.
Well, 90% of the people thought initially that he was going to use that speech to declare the emergency powers. Then he didn't.
Yeah.
That's
because and you know what? The press should have known ahead of time.
They did.
That he wasn't going to do that because apparently he had he had them all over for lunch ahead of time.
They did. They knew about noon. They knew about noon.
Kind of gave them a preview.
SPV was up 10:50. They knew at noon of that day. It was well after he scheduled it. SPV futures up 10:50. Dow up 117. Nasdaq up 34. Back Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all time highs. Interest rates close to all time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now. If they are all experts, then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough. Don't charge enough. Whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed.
PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Miley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Professor Russell Rhodes with us as well. S&P futures now up 11.75. Dow futures up 131. NASDAQ futures up 37. We're creeping the whole time we're on the show this morning to the upside, and I think that's good. A lot of people making their money back that they had lost. DAX up 110. That's 1%, 1.02%. FTSE up 71%. CAC around up 54, 1.1%. Over in Asia, we've got rallies here as well. Nikkei up 223, 1%. Shanghai up 17.7%. Big rally is in Hang Seng. 586, 2.2% back over 26,000. 26,460. These guys have been flying back and forth really between 25, 26,000 and maybe 1,000 either way for really quite some time. So maybe we're just in a new range here. Who knows? Maybe everything's fixed. It could be, although the headline seems to be China sources. This is according to Bloomberg. Sources say positions were closer on areas including energy and agriculture, but further apart on harder issues. Whatever the hell that means. I don't know. Does that mean we're gaining or losing, man? I don't even know. Oil is up $1.19, over $50, $50.97 for West Texas. Brent up $1.30, $60 at 02. That spread is now $9.05. Natural gas 2.998, so under $3 by a whisker. RBOB 139. Home heating oil 184. Gold taking on the chin a little bit, down 350, but hanging there pretty good since we've
really in a 100-hour rally in the last about 8 weeks. Silver down 2 cents, gold down 350, copper up 2 cents. Mandy, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Earlier crashes on the Edens and Kennedy are all clear, but some resulting congestion on both expressways, so give yourself plenty of time heading in or out from the northern and northwestern burbs. Eisenhower and Stevenson are our next highest traffic volumes, but no accidents to report. Southside expressways have been pretty quiet all morning on the Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford, so that's good news. We do have a crash down there at Ashland Avenue and Broadway Street at the Calumet Park area that just came across the screen. Southwestern suburbs, as I mentioned earlier, Gaylord Road between Chestnut Street and Division is closed due to road construction, and that'll reopen on Thursday, so adjust your commute accordingly. In Naperville, there's a crash at Winfield Road and Ferry Road, but everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, we are much colder today than we've been in the last several weeks. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 25, wind chills in the low teens. Right now it's overcast and 21 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 25 with wind chills much colder than that. So bundle up as you're heading out this morning. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 72. Right now it's mostly clear and 47. In sports, Bulls were off last night. Suns were in action. They beat the Kings 115-111. Blackhawks and Coyotes were both off. College hoops, Loyola lost to Evansville 67-48. And as we mentioned briefly, the White Sox signed former Cubs outfielder John Jay to a one-year, $4 million deal.
Jay Farns, I think he was pretty solid.
I agree. I think he's a very good sort of backup outfielder, and if somebody gets hurt, you can plug him in for a couple weeks, and he's fine, and he can play all three outfield spots. Good base runner.
Yeah, I was seemingly pretty impressed by his base run. That seemingly I was.
Yeah, and he with the Cubs, he was like a 290 plus hitter. He doesn't walk very much, but he puts the bat on the ball, and he was getting on base. So.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a plus. Hey, you know, I was gonna snack on sort of don't want to go to Andy and Mayberry here, but you know, Russell, the thing that I find somewhat hard is as you like I mentioned before, you know, the news thing is like taking a drink through a fire hydrant, but there's so much. So much happening news-wise, and I find myself, you know, going back and forth from CNBC to Bloomberg to, you know, the Tribune to the Wall Street Journal, and but it's seeming like there's kind of something missing. I mean, as we listen to the our president talk about the people that have come up, you know, from Honduras and all these places, and they're all murderers or all this kind of thing, which is all BS. You know, what's odd, it seems to me. And again, this is maybe a rosier picture of history than we live in the South Side. Dr. J and I and a couple of the guys live in this big, huge house. We're on the trading floor, and then, you know, one guy got married, one guy, whatever. Everybody ended up, we split apart, but as everybody went off and did their stuff. And, but we always got U.S. News and World Report, and we switched off between Time and Newsweek, whichever one we got a better deal on. And there was, I don't know, Maddie, if this is maybe a little bit before your time, but you got the news from the newspapers. In Chicago at the time had, I'm going to say at least two. When I was a kid, there were four, but there were at least two. I'm not sure when the Daily News went under, but probably around that time, somewhere in the 80s. And, so we're down to two newspapers, but this whole thing with these people walking 2,000 miles, and you would think, Mortimer, that somewhere, someday, the Tribune or someplace would have a two-page send Maddie Weber down there, for God's sake. What in the hell is going on in Honduras that is causing all this stuff? Is it political? Is it a drought? I mean, we used to get with the magazines, Maddie, and again, they weren't perfect, whatever, but you'd find out, say there was a, you know, an Israeli somebody-somebody war, and you're getting all the news like we do now, you know, not really with the internet and stuff, but sort of like we do now. You get in the paper, this is it. Well, then these guys would come out on a Monday, whenever you get the damn thing, and there'd be 15, 20 pages with maps, who's here, who's there, where did this all start, who the leaders are, all kinds of pages, and this is the head of the, you know, Hezbollah group, and this is the head of the other guy's group, and you could really fill your mind up with what actually was going on. I mean, and I don't see that anywhere now. I mean, I would like to know what in God's name made a family get their fanny off the couch if they had one and walk 1,000 miles through Mexico or 2,000 miles in the hopes of getting here when they can see Trump on TV telling them they don't want him. I mean, something really bad's got to be going on in Honduras. I've heard of drought. Politics is always shaky. But wouldn't you think that somewhere along the line we would have gained this information? I don't see it anywhere, man. The only place I bet it is, Russell, and I hate like hell because it's the driest thing on earth. Do you still get the, as a FID, do you get the Journal of Political Economy where they have something like every single country in the world? It's like, you know, you read that for a page, you fall asleep. But still, is that the only place that has stuff for all these countries?
Yeah, that, and, you know, I think like the CIA fact book will let you know what's going on in retrospect. But that's, you know, that would really, wouldn't that be like really good Pulitzer Prize winning stuff to go down there and demonstrate, you know, why people are, you know, putting their whole family at risk and walking 2,000 miles to try to get to the United States?
Well, I guarantee you if people were still paying for those free magazines, because now nobody wants to pay for any news. So the reason why you don't pay for it, you don't get it. You end up right. with people's 20-second opinions, which mean nothing. But I'm saying I would guess that if those people were still in quote business, real business, that somebody would be down there saying what the hell's going on. And I don't see it. Maybe the New York
and you know maybe they don't have the resources to send somebody down there.
Well, you would think I don't think the
because nobody's paying for anything anymore.
Right.
Like you just said.
I mean, I don't know. Kathy, if she was here, might say, well, chief, it's in the London Times or it's in something. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's clearly not anything here that I've seen.
No. And I the only thing that you have heard is maybe, you know, updates on how many people there are in the caravan as they work their way north. But that's an excellent point. Somebody, I'm not going down there.
No.
Somebody should go down there.
Well, I'm saying
it really would be interesting to find out. Or, you know, you were talking about somebody that's embedded with the presidential campaign. You know, somebody that actually follows the progress of, you know, why are people, you know, what is prompting this, you know, sudden migration north? You know, it's not like there's some sort of nasty civil war going on down there. I'm sure that the economic conditions aren't all that hot, but the only country that you hear that there are major problems in is Venezuela, and you don't hear a lot of Venezuelans working their way all the way north.
Well, when I was in college, actually, Kevin's older brother Tim is my age, and there were four of us in our quad in our dorm. And next door, there was if you got two rooms, you had three people. If you had three rooms, you had four people. Well, his older brother Tim, and obviously one of my best friends, ended up being a roommate 2 years. Was in the place next door, and one of the guys there was a guy named Mario Cardinal, and he was from Nicaragua. And I mean, boy, the guy could tell you stories about, you know, parents just evading, you know, this guy who came in to be the strong man, and, you know, one of the mm-hmm. uncles got killed, and then a new guy came in. It's pretty much a horrible experience right after the other, but you feel, it's so easy to say, you know, if you live in a white suburb, not like you're in one of those things, or anywhere really, I don't care what these people's problem is. I don't want them here. And the president to say, I want people from Norway. Talk about the white blue eyed thing going, good Lord. We only want people from like Norway because they're educated and, or from some other place. Cause I don't think he's real too big on the Chinese either, but at least they're, you know, at least they come over with money and education. But the Irish didn't get here because they went to college. They came here because they had a potato famine, for God's sake. I mean, mm-hmm. Does the man know any history?
They had no choice.
Yeah, had no choice. I mean, do you think the people came here from Germany or Italy? I mean, my brother was over in the town where my Italian side came from. And he goes, I show up here. I'm like, why did they leave? Well, they had too many people. Nobody had a job, and they came here. You know, I mean, there's only so many people that could fish and, you know, have pasta and fish every night. I mean, there was no job, so people came here. I mean, people don't come here because... I mean, I guess if you're in China and you work for the government and you steal $2 million, you know, from someplace and you can get out of there and actually take your $2 million and get a place here, you're coming, right? Or you're going to Canada where then, what's their deal? If you gave them $250,000, if you had $250,000, you could come in. And what's our deal here? If you came over with enough money to, man, we had somebody on telling us this. Your memory's better. Ten jobs?
You need to have a certain amount of money, or you need to have somebody that will financially vouch for you that you're not going to come into the United States and immediately go on welfare.
I thought if you
I had a friend who did the Russian mail order bride thing. I swear it was a friend. It was not me. And when he would bring audition people that were auditioning to be his wife over, that was part of the process he had to go through.
Well, there's some little favorite college rule that if you come over from anywhere, really, but I'm going to say China, and somehow or another you have enough money to, say, start building a building and create 10 jobs, I think it's an automatic citizenship for you and your family or something, something like that. I mean, there's these little backdoor deals, which I can't say I'm totally against. I'm just, you know, nobody sort of knows about it.
That's exactly who we want to come over here and go through the process.
What I'm saying is the fact is most of I got to believe my guys came here with the potato famine. The first guy in the grave died in 1907, so he had to come here in the 1800s. I'm not sure. I don't think they came here out of wealth, just guessing.
No. They came here with nothing.
And, you know,
and maybe an address of a distant cousin that was going to let him sleep on the floor.
Yeah, that's basically what
and
was
that
it.
Really, yeah.
You know, so I don't, I guess I'd like to know what's going to, if people are getting shoved out of a place, I mean, I have respect from anybody who will walk 1,500 miles through a strange country. And I got to believe there's got to be spots in Mexico that aren't so hot walking through. Just saying.
Oh, God, no. My in-laws used to drive a giant bus around the country, and they drove into Mexico, and the instructions they were given was, you are not to stop for 200 miles.
Yeah. The top end, I think, is worse than the bottom end.
Yeah.
I think once you get into the middle, I think you're somewhat okay. I mean, not having been there, but with no real desire to go, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm becoming more like our producer. Matter of fact, I quoted you the other night, Matty. Somebody went swimming someplace where there were sharks, and I said, to quote my man Matty Weber, unless a plane crashes, I'm not going to get eaten by a shark. I'm not going to die skydiving. What's the other one you don't do?
I'm not going to die falling off the side of a mountain because I was rock climbing.
Right.
Because I have no interest in doing any of those things.
Or I'm not going to, you know, it's taking a selfie over a cliff or something.
Yeah. I've never taken a selfie, and I've never, I have no plans to skydive or swim with sharks, so I can tell you that I'm not going to die by one of those ways. I'm going to die, just not by one of those ways.
Just not one that I can sort of prevent going into
it.
All right, we've had you a while, Russell. The connection between Ken with some of the debt issues piling up worldwide, especially with the China situation and the dollar-denominated debt and everything, is can we just beat up on our new Fed guy and go back to another 10 years of easy Fed money and market going up every year and everybody happy?
I don't see us getting there unless we have a little bit of a disaster first. They need the catalyst for the excuse to restart things. And the catalyst can't be the president yelling at you about it. And the president doesn't want the catalyst to come first. He wants to go back to, you know, how easy Obama had it managing the economy for himself.
Well, just like you wouldn't want this guy's Fed job, the timing is not right.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not.
How is it, speaking of misinformation, because it's kind of been a theme, how is it that people that have had as many, some of them maybe more hours, economics and stuff than I have, that are on TV all day long, how do people continually say that we need, that the Fed has basically carried the entire sack of water over the last 10 years at, quote, fixing the economy, and that they've gotten no help out of Washington, there's no fiscal stimulus whatsoever?
No, and to really get things to work, it should be both sides. That should be the Fed's response right there.
Yeah, but why would you?
We've done our part. When do you know, when's the fiscal? And God knows they can say it, but they may as well not even waste their breath trying to say it.
But why do you say, and a guy who's on these numbers more than me, why do you say there's been no fiscal end when we have, in the last 10 years, we've essentially had $10 trillion worth of deficit spending?
Well, no, they've got to, over the long term, they've got to tighten some things up a little bit.
Right, but I'm saying is, if you listen to the mantra, it's that the Fed has not done their job by using expansionary Keynesian policy. And I'm saying, how much more do you want? $1 trillion a year should be enough.
Well, neither side has done, or one side is now, the Fed is now trying to be a little bit more responsible and work this thing down. The congressional side, the not the monetary side, but the fiscal side, they continue to be extremely reckless, and that ends up giving you some sort of day of reckoning down the road.
But reckless means expansionary.
Right, right.
So what I'm saying, the accusation is they've not been expansionary enough, and I'm saying, God, how much more do they want?
No, they have been. They have been.
See, now you can.
I think they have been.
That's why. Know. That is what you just said is why you've never been invited on CNBC. The story is they have not been. Just saying.
No, they have not been. I mean, the both sides have done nothing but prop everything up, and you can only prop things up for so long before it catches up with you. And the higher you prop things up, which is a little bit of what's been going on, at least on the fiscal side with the taxes, may make things worse when we have the next go-round.
When you say the next go-round...
I think that's one of the reasons the stock market's acting as goofy as it is right now. It's because people are seeing... It's been 10 years since the last blow-up. You know, I'm working on the next book... I'm working on my next version of the book on the VIX, and I'm actually doing a lot of history in this book about the recent blow-ups, and it seems like they come along... The really big ones that everybody remembers seem to come along about every 8 to 10 years, and we are about 10 years from the last big one.
That's exactly right.
I think those of us that have been around a little bit longer than most people in our business are aware of that, and that's why we're being a lot more cautious going into this year than we have been at least in a few years.
All right, I'm going to ask you a Maddie, send something at me, throw something at me if this is way off the chart in terms of technical. I'm going to say that when people talk about, quote, volatility, and hear me out here, people talk about volatility, the things, because now I listen to people on TV and radio, I say that too much, they talk about us being volatile. Okay, well, I don't really believe that the volatility we see, I mean, in other words, the stuff you see during the day, where we can be down 400 and all of a sudden we're even, that, to me, a lot of it has to do with the fabric of the market itself. I'm going to say, to me, really sucks in terms of having three order flow providers and that kind of thing where everybody gets out of the way. But I don't. That's not volatility like you and I historically look at, which is close to close. It's there,
right.
and it scares people away, and it scares traders away. And for somebody like me, me and my guys are pretty good at it, we try and use that to our advantage by putting in orders when nobody else has, and actually getting fills that maybe nobody else can get. I'm not talking about every day you get this happen, but once in a while. We are hedged, so we get the benefit by that more than lose by it, because we're trying to be ahead of the game. But what you're talking about, the day to day volatility, you think? I mean, some of that is it because it's more. I mean, what do you think it's going to show? The things are more. More volatile on a close-to-close basis, or less. I mean, if you take the years and the last few years, we had a couple of years where we never had a 1% move.
We have cycles of this stuff, and we're just going through a normal cycle of this stuff. It's not like we suddenly have some sort of big outlier. The problem is that most people's memories are extremely short.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And this kind of stuff comes around periodically.
But Russ, I'm going to use a real world analogy. Well, not that this isn't real world; it sure is real. We're playing with real money. But
it is to us.
But to me, it's you and I, and even though we could disagree on just about everything, agree that if the market and the debt and the what we're doing, or a lot of our policies need to be changed and be changed fairly dramatically. You used the word earlier, and I remember what you say. Use the term, we need to have a reset. We need to have a reset in Chicago on in terms of what public employees make versus what other people make. We need to have a reset in what pensions are now more than what other people make. Just, not that there's anything wrong with how much they're getting paid, and they, quote, don't deserve it. Just that it's a reset based on what other people can pay. A lot of what the loans are to other countries, a lot of what these loans are to these corporations and they, a lot of this stuff needs a reset. We have more and more cartelization of America. to where individual people, because they're in non-competitive industries, seem to make a lot more money than they would have if they were in a competitive industry. There's a lot of things that need to be, quote, fixed. And you keep alluding to, by the way, you know who you sound like? The guy, one of the guys who married one of Tricky Dick's daughters. He works in a Republican think tank. And he wrote
not the Eisenhower, but...
No, not it was the other guy. And because Eisenhower married one of them, right? The Eisenhower kid,
yeah.
David Eisenhower?
Yeah.
He basically said that what we're talking about, the fighting you see back and forth in Congress, is not going to stop until we, quote, hit bottom, which is basically exactly what you just said. But why am I...
Oh, you need to... The only time you see them come together is when we get some sort of major, major catastrophe.
Yeah, but why do you...
Whether it's, you know, the 9/11 thing, or... But the thing is, even with 2008... There was still a ton of, you know, if you remember, we went through a week or two where they were just haggling over what they were going to do about this thing.
Well, but,
and they even voted, you know, they even voted trying to fix it down to one.
And but here's my concern, Russell. You and I are sitting there, and in the car watching these guys build a bridge, and one of us says, "Hey, you know what? That bleep is supposed to be using stainless steel bolts, and he's not." And you and I say, wow, that bolt is going to rust out faster than these guys think, and it's going to rust out before they get there 5 years from now with the paint job. This bridge has got a problem. And you and I raise the alarm like we do every Wednesday, and like I do with Carl, like I do with Kevin. And neither one of us, we'd love to be listened to, and we'd love somebody, not necessarily we have to be listened to or given the credit, we'd hope somebody somewhere says, hey, get out there, get those bolts out of there and put stainless steel. We really don't want the bridge coming down and 50 people dying to prove us right. And yet, what you're saying is somehow we're powerless, you and I and all other people that give a crap about this country, we're powerless to stop this before, because I'm not so sure I'm going to like what bottom looks like. Or is the bottom going to be...
Well, I don't think any of us are going to like what the bottom looks like.
I mean, are people going to start shooting?
You know, maybe it's I'm turning into my cynical old man self, but it's going to be fairly ugly.
I mean, are we talking about shooting? Are we talking about is it an independent running for election? That I can handle. Are we going to talk about people running on the street with guns? I mean, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't even have one. But if it's that, we better go out and start buying some. Just saying.
Yeah. No, it seems like it takes some sort of some sort of crisis. Wasn't it Rahm Emanuel who said you can't waste a good crisis?
Well, yeah.
And people ragged on him about that. I understand what he's saying by that.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because that's when you're actually able to get things done. Right now, more or less things are okay. I'm not saying they're great, but they're okay. You and I can see on the horizon that they're not going to be okay. But nobody really likes to hear from the guy that is raising the alarms, and then when things fall apart, nobody likes the guy that says "I told you so."
Well, you can't. We're not going to have. we're not going to have a society that to go to a good school. I mean, a school that I went for not much money, where it's 1 3/4 times a full year's pay. It's just not worth that, or 2 days in a hospital or 3 days in a heart bypass is 2 times a year's salary. It's not worth that. I mean, it just isn't. I mean, these are economic imbalances that are dramatically high, and somehow it's just not worth that. It takes five people to do a heart bypass surgery. It takes 3 hours. That's not 2 years' salary. I'm sorry, of the median income. It just isn't.
No, it's not.
And neither is a Notre Dame education worth a year and 3/4. I mean, there's places, and you know this, there's professors teaching class getting, what, $25 a credit hour, while the guy paying for it is paying $2,000 a credit hour. Where's the rest of the dough? Mm-hmm. We're going to go down by overhead, Russell, I think.
Yeah. No, it's... we've talked about you've beaten the drum on this forever. The reality of what things really cost relative to what the government's telling us they're going up in cost, that disconnect continues to catch up with people.
Quick question. We only less than a minute. If you take Carl's, I'm going to say, disgusting but probably accurate numbers yesterday, if you take his numbers of what the debt levels really are, and which is every year seems to be more than 2% of the economy, as much as 3 and 4%. If you say that half of that the economy is burning on borrowed funds, is there really any growth? I'm thinking the answer is no.
No, not without some sort of pushing us along at this point.
Is that after 10 years?
And there's so many people who have a vested interest in trying to keep us pushing along that have that control how these things work, that they're not going to do the right thing until they're stuck having to do it.
This is the scariest thing that's ever happened on a show. You and me agreeing on something.
I'm sorry, man, but that's I'm well aware, and every day I feel a little bit less, a little bit more hopeless about the whole thing.
Well, maybe next week you can come in and we'll at least look at each other eye to eye. S&P futures up 1150, Dow futures up 131, Nasdaq futures up 31. Russell, thank you. Good stuff. Following Carl is tough, isn't it? We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.